I need some help at the beginning of my sermon. I already asked Beth if she would. I asked some helpers. And if you would like to help me, come on front. Now, did I tell you what I was going to have you do?
No.
No. Okay. What I would like you to do, now you're going to be standing, I'll put you right here, and you right here, and you right here. I know you don't have the proper clothing for this, but I think it'll be okay. What I would like you to do is to run in place. Okay? Start running in place. Okay? Don't stop. Do not stop. You got that? Now try to do it as quietly possible because I have something I want to say to everybody else. Keep running. Don't stop. Don't stop. Okay. Keep going. Come on. Come on. I love the Gospel of Mark. Why do I love it? Because it gets right down to the nitty-gritty. It doesn't start out like Matthew does with a keep running, keep running. It doesn't start out like Matthew does with a genealogy of who begot, who begot, who begot, who. Keep jogging. Nor does it have a baby story like Matthew and Luke do. They have to tell, they have to go back to the, you know, kind of the beginning of his life when all he could do was just goo goo gaga and all that stuff. Keep going. Come on. Oh, come on. Keep running. Keep running. Not only that, it doesn't start out like John's gospel. Keep going. It doesn't start out like John's gospel. John's gospel goes back to the very beginning. In fact, if you look at Genesis, it says in the beginning, and John's gospel, it says in the beginning also. And he kind of goes back. He's got to go tell the whole story before he finally gets down to the story of Jesus. Plus, John's gospel is full of all sorts. I mean, it's good stuff, but Mark's gospel, keep running, keep running, keep running. You got to hold on. You're getting tired. Keep running, keep running. Oh, Mark's gospel is sort of short and sweet. That's why I like it. You could almost read this entire gospel in one sitting if you're a fast reader. It's fast-paced. In fact, if you listen, you will hear the word immediately. Come up, come on, immediately, let's go. You will go, I mean, it goes from one to the next. It's breakneck speed, one after the other. Okay, do you need to stop? Are you tired?
Yes, I'm already tired.
You're tired. Oh, my goodness. Were you listening to that scripture we read a little bit earlier?
No, I was asleep.
You were asleep. Well, okay. I guess you had reason for being asleep, too, from what I have heard. In there, it talked about young people. Did you at all hear what it says? It talked about how young people, even young people, can grow tired. Are you tired now? You're very tired. Are you tired? Yeah. Now, when us older people look at you young people, there are times that we wish we could take some of your energy because you have a lot of energy, right? And we wish we could bottle it up and put it in the can and save it, right? Right? Like your son? You wish, amen. And you could just take it in different times. You've got a lot of energy, but even your energy wears out. Right? You can run and run and you will get weary. But Isaiah said, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What do you think about that?
I was walking.
You were walking by the end there. Yeah. Okay, well, you demonstrated for me that you know, we go tired, get tired. Even those of us who have all sorts of energy get tired. Right? Okay, thank you. You've demonstrated a point for me. You may go back to sleep. getting back to Mark's gospel. Mark's gospel is very fast-paced. You sort of run through the life of Jesus very quickly as you go through it. And it doesn't begin like the other gospels with a lot of prelude. It gets right to it. It begins there at the Jordan River where John the Baptist is baptizing. He's preparing the way of the Lord. And Jesus comes and he is baptized. And it's only really in the first so many verses that John is already out of the picture. But there is Jesus front and center, this one whom God says, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus comes proclaiming the good news. "The time is fulfilled," he says. "The kingdom of God is at hand. It is near. It is like it is bubbling up all around. Believe in this good news." And from there, immediately, he heads to church. Well, I know it's synagogue. He goes there. And there he proclaims, but he also puts that proclamation into action. And people are touched by the good news such that, well, they say, "Whoa!" There's healing. There's demons cast out. And I like what comes next. Because it doesn't stay in church. It doesn't stay in church, which, by the way, should be a clue to all of us. What happens here shouldn't just stay here. This is not Las Vegas. I mean, the confidential stuff, yes. But the good news is not confidential. The good news is something that belongs everywhere. And immediately, with a sense of immediacy, we need to take what we have received out. In the gospel story, immediately after being in that synagogue, Jesus heads home with Simon and Andrew. And an interesting thing happens. Were you listening? This is not your typical mother-in-law story. For the first thing they think of as they invite Jesus into their home, and Jesus comes into the home right there. It's not kept in church, in synagogue. He's brought into the home. The first thing they think of is mom. Not my mom, but my wife's mom. She's sick. She's got a fever. And it's a very understated story, as a lot of the stories of Jesus are. We're tempted to make them so highfalutin and overblown. But it's very simple. It's not, "Be healed." He's just reaching a hand to her hand and helping her to stand up. And in the process of her using her own legs, by the way, when you help somebody to stand up, they are not, you know, you're not holding them up and whatever. They're using their own legs. In the process of standing up, the fever goes. Would that your dizziness had been that quick to leave. Yeah. Did you notice the first thing she did after? Was anybody paying attention? As soon as she you know, stood up and that fever was gone, was anybody paying attention to what this woman did? What did she do? She cooked him a meal. Which is something somebody should do, you know, when welcoming into your home. You make them feel, it's hospitality. When somebody comes into your home, you welcome them. You bring them, you know, something to refresh their, you know, to fill their stomachs and whatever. She serves. And I think Mark is trying to get to a point pretty quickly. He's pretty immediate about this. That you know, she is kind of the example, if you will, of a disciple. Very quickly, after receiving, we need to move into serving, into caring for others, welcoming. As if to underscore that point, what happens next? Immediately, they welcome the whole town to their door. Did you catch that? Welcome the whole town. You know, it's probably a little bit of an overstatement, but maybe not. I don't know. I wasn't there. All these people, they had heard, you know, some things happening in the synagogue and in church. Didn't stay in church. Word went out. And people came to the door. And there was Jesus. And it was just a continuation of what had already happened. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is very, very, very near. It's immediate. And that sense of immediacy isn't a running in place. It's almost a fulfillment. And you can see it with your eyes. You can feel it with your hands. Touch it. I'm just following the story, folks. And I love how Mark does this. Right after that, Jesus, after getting some sleep, hopefully, though it's been evening that all that last stuff happened, says early in the morning, he rose and went to a quiet place. In the back of our minds, perhaps we should be remembering those words of Isaiah, "They that wait upon the Lord." Mark's gospel is about hitting the road. It's about hitting home. It's about getting out there. And yet the only way that that can happen is for those moments of waiting that have to happen. Without those times of quiet, without those times of renewal, the rest of it can't happen. Even Jesus needed that. Mark's saying that from the very beginning. He's only basically had one real full day, according to Mark, of being at work. And yet, there's that waiting that needs to happen. And what makes us think we are any different? "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings." It's eagles, running, not being weary, walking, not fainting. But the waiting is important, the being still. Even Jesus needed that stilling. "Be still and know that I am God." Being grounded in the nearness of God. Of course, the crush doesn't end. Things go on from there very immediately. It's only a verse in Mark's gospel that Jesus gets to, I guess we call it rest. Before the disciples are already at him saying, "People are looking for you, Jesus." I mean, this is early in the morning. People are looking for you. Now, I'm not exactly sure what Jesus' response here is, because the people who are looking for him are no doubt the people in that town. And Jesus at this point is saying, well, there are other towns. There are other places to go. Which on the one hand might seem kind of, well, you know, he really has had enough with them. Now he wants to go to somebody else. But maybe, just maybe, he has planted a seed. And maybe, just maybe, even though Simon, Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, those are the only disciples mentioned thus far, maybe they're going to head off with him. But enough has happened here in this town, and they have seen the kingdom of God being so very, very near, that the good news continues even after Jesus goes on to another location. Of course, the rest of the story awaits. Very immediately, as I said, Mark runs through it very quickly. Before you know it, you know, he's already to Jerusalem. And what happens there? Major points, though, it doesn't stick in church. It hits home. Doors are opened. People are welcomed and served. And it hits the road. Not bye-bye, but go with purpose and meaning. Now it's my prayer as you move on from this spot that you will know that energy that comes from God. That you will have what you need to take the next steps in your journey. That God will provide you. God not only will shelter you under His wings along the way, but God will cause your wings to spread so that you might fly. If we could borrow this metaphor from the prophet Isaiah. May God strengthen you so that you, knowing that the kingdom of God is near, knowing that, as Jesus in fact said somewhere else, the kingdom of God is within you, knowing that the time is now, it is fulfilled. Yeah, I know there's more to come. There's more down the road. But the gospel, the good news is for now. As you respond to Jesus now. And you follow Him today. And you don't keep things here, but take them out. To your workplace. To wherever you go. Renewed, refreshed, energized. So that you might run. That's the true bottled up stuff, isn't it? Not what we wish we could bottle from our young people. But I got to tell you, this gospel, it can't be contained in a jar. Amen? Okay.